Mr. Deuce 304, we were talking about your time attached to the 1st Battalion Middlesex Regiment at Fan Ling Camp. From July onwards. And you said there wasn't that much. Was there any other weapons training besides the mortars?
I can't remember doing any others.
No. So what's the next thing you remember then?
Then, I think it was September, end of September, October. That's when they started to split us up, the whole intake up. Then they...
How did they split you up?
Well, those that was 19 or coming up to 19 by the time they got to Korea or Japan, they were went first. And, well, that left... It didn't leave many of us at all. And then... we all went up to... They went off to the Durham Light Infantry, which was the bulk of them, really. They only left a dozen or so of us. And then we went up to JRBD in Kiri in Japan.
Now, what's JRBD stand for? Japanese... JRBD?
Reinforced Basement Depot.
And whereabouts was that? What do you, was there, do you remember the journey there? Or?
Well, we went by sea on a liner, a Chinese liner. You had soap and towels in your wash basin on that boat.
It was more comfortable.
Yeah. Never done nothing on it.
And that was round about October?
Yeah, it took us a week to get there. That was when the main intake went, but...
When did you go?
Yeah, where did I have my 19th birthday?
So?
I think I had that in Japan. Yeah, I think we had a fortnight in Japan before we went to Korea.
And so it's more November you went?
November when we went.
Well,
yeah,
to Japan?
When myself and the rear party of our intake, if you like, the main... bulk of them had already gone that joined the Durhams. Then us others went up to Kiri. And
now, where did you land when you got to Japan?
Where? Kiri.
Kuri.
Kiri. K-U-R-E.
K-U-R-E. And whereabouts is that? Do you know what it's near?
Oh, yeah, that's only the Korean map you've got in that book. And
Never mind. Was it a coastal town?
Yeah. That's their main docks. Not far from... That isn't that far from Tokyo.
And
or Sasebo.
What happened when you got off the ship?
Then we were put into the transit camp at JRBD. And then...
That's at Kuri.
Yeah.
And what do you remember of your time there?
We done a bit more weapon training there with the rifle and the Sten gun, you know, which we'd already done. But this is to keep you on your toes to what you expect if you go any further. If you're going to go any further up the road, then you want to know how to keep these bits and pieces in motion. So, we used to do some weapon training, and then we mainly it was just keeping you on your toes. You know, it's night times, nothing to do, you know, cold, and that was winter time there, so it was cold there. And we
did you see much of the Japanese?
Well, the camp itself was. All Japanese waitresses, you know, you didn't have to queue for your food. They brought it to your table. So I thought, well, I can stick a handful of this for another couple of years. That didn't materialise. It was run by the military, but they had got these girls in because otherwise, whether they're Japanese cooks or not, I don't know, but. whoever it was, they made a good job of it.
Did you get on well with them? I mean, it's only been about 6 years since the war. I mean,
We were treated, my opinion anyhow, were treated better than the Americans in Japan. That was my opinion, you know.
Did you get out into the town at all?
No, I didn't bother, not when we there for those few weeks. It wasn't that long.
So you were there in November, basically, we think.
Yeah, it was the 19th of December when we left Kiri to go to Pusan, which I class you as in Korea then once you leave Japan.
So what about the trip to Pusan?
That was by, well, that was a boat, I suppose. That got us there, just.
What was wrong with it?
That wasn't a very good thing, I didn't think, anyhow. Looks as if I should have done that trip and then sunk.
It was that bad?
I didn't do much. That was the worst boat crossing I've had.
What was so bad about
it? That was the worst boat I'd been on, I think.
What was so bad about it?
Well, just about everything. Mind you, whether we were getting a bit hyped up because we were going somewhere where there was a bit of hostilities, you know what I mean? And so whether we were, that was what our problem was, but we was all whinging and moaning. And as I say, there was only six of us who knew one another, all in the Royal Norfolks. But then we got on, well, we was met at Pusan by American jazz band, giving it all on the docks. And then we got on this train. I thought, well, those slatted seats, so you can imagine the time we got to Seoul, that was, well, I think we were on it 24 hours. We were talking about that, as I told you, when we went to Albi the other week.
What was it like? I mean, the train and what you could see, because it's a new country.
Yeah, well, all you could see out of the windows was buildings, rubble, refugees scouring for grub or whatever, you know. Well, we hadn't got, all we'd got enough is to last us until we got to Seoul.
That's where you're going to.
You see, well, that was the last station on the line then. And, well, as I say, that's all it was, you know, burnt out vehicles. That looked right carnage. I thought, God, what are we going to do here? And then we got on a truck at Seoul. And then we went on to up the MSR to main supply route to the main divisional headquarters.
Where was that?
Can't think of the name of the place now. That's in that book. Near the Pintail Bridge. MAR West was.
Just by Pintail, yes, it's on one of the maps in the Norfolk book. It's sort of. Yes, they can look that up. Pintail Bridge, yeah.
MAR West, Major General West was the big boy in charge out there then.
Now, what happened there? There were just the six of you.
Yeah, then they give us a tent with a heater in which didn't work, and that was bitter cold. Oh, and this was December the 23rd. So it took from the 19th when we left Japan to the 23rd to get to where we got stopped.
How bad was the cold?
That was very, very cold. Well, I thought it was, well, everybody did. That was bitter. And we got no heating. That was the. They put three of us in a tent, what was they used for shows, live shows. Well, the smoke, everything you touched was black. Oh, we looked the right lot, looked like the black and white minstrel show.
And you got special winter uniforms? Winter,
yeah, we got them in Japan. That's where they issued them.
What did you
combat
have?
Combat jacket and trousers and a parka. That's all we got. That is more than what the earlier people had. they only had their ordinary battle dresses. So, God Almighty, they must have been cold. Sure. I think it tells you in that book it was 40 degrees in the worst of the winters.
So, what happened then? And then you're in this tent.
Yeah, well, we all had split up then. Couple of us tossed down in another tent and, I was trying to sleep the best we could until we met the camp commandant the next morning. And that was when my next door neighbour come on the camp.
What do you mean, sorry?
Well, he was in the Black Watch and his mate was storming in the main div HQ. And he was coming to see him, and he lived next door to me at home.
In your village?
Yeah, next door. I lived number 3 and he lived number 5. It's a small world. Though you're 13,000 miles from home. that was when I had a couple of bottles of beer with him that day. I'd done nothing that day, only sit in the stores with him and his mate. It was quite an entertaining day. The camp commandant said, don't make a day of it, and make sure he don't drink too much if he's got a water tender to take back, will you? I said, right-o. And
did you have any duties, this first bit of the
house? I done one guard. I was still in the main div. I done one guard.
What do you remember of that?
Cold night, cold air. You can see the trace of bullets going across the hilltops, and you can hear the whoom, whoom every now and again. And as I say, the trace is going across. Well, I thought to myself, I'm only just over that hill, that's what it looked like, but it was that little bit further away. But we prayed for the next morning. And
did you know about the possibility of infiltrators, things like that? I mean, had they told you what you were looking for?
Oh yeah. You'd got to be on your toes. You just couldn't think to yourself, well, I'm going to stand out here. Everything was pitch black. So these have got to be open as well as these, if you know what I mean.
Your eyes and your ears.
That's right. Yeah, otherwise, because they are slimy lot. Yeah, I thought anyhow. That was the unnerving, just getting there, hadn't got your bearings properly, and then you got to stand it stuck out there, and you'd got to be careful, because as I said, Major General West, he was never hardly in, he was flitting in and out, so you couldn't leave the barrier up and say, right, get on with it, because if he'd see it up, and he'd want to know why. So you'd got to, be very, very cautious.
Was it all tents, the camp?
A lot of them. It's been going on 2 years then, and previous people that had been there, they'd got it organised, so they'd dug it into, some of them, they'd dug into the mountainside or hillside, and like Major General West, he didn't have a bivouac stuck in the middle of nowhere. His was well set in. As though they other people that had been there in earlier days had dug it all out, and they were quite comfortable, really, once you got that heater working.
So they were basically dug in tents,
That's right, Naffy boxes, as a side, in the back. Yeah, all right.
So what happened next? How long were you there for, Pintail?
I was there, that was all in one camp. See, the main Div HQ and the Royal Corps of Signals were...
No, you haven't. That's what I mean. You haven't mentioned the wrong course.
No, I haven't got there yet.
Sorry.
I think it was the 3rd of January 1953 when I went to the Royal Corps.
So, but you weren't doing anything else before?
I was just like loafing about or sitting about doing, you know, obviously you're not going to be sleeping all the while, but, you know, the camp commandant didn't worry. If he wanted anything from down rear div, right, it'd be a lorry to take you down there and fetch it back or whatever. But I had to go and see the MO for an interview to... That was that come up on part one orders or...
Now, why? What were you...
Because the other medical orderly was then due to come home from there to come home for demob. So they advertised over our place, the main div HQ, which was a holding place if anybody wanted...
To be a medical orderly?
Yeah, or anything else, you know.
Had you been trained for anything like that?
No.
So what happened then? Tell us how you got the job.
I put in for it and went and see Dr. Russell. Brian Russell was the MO then, and went in and had a word with him after he'd finished his sick parade, and he asked me various questions, and obviously I must have answered them all correct, because that is, he said, right, get your gear over here, I'll see Corporal Mundy and he'll show you where you're going to sleep. And they put a stretcher on two boxes and that was my bed.
And this was still at Pintail Camp?
Well, it's still in the main div HQ, yeah.
Well, yeah, sorry. And you were joined in the Royal Corps of Signals, in this, well, you're being attached to them.
Attached to them, yeah, I was still in the Royal Norfolk, yeah.
And which part of the Royal Corps? Did it have a name, what you were joining?
That was just the Regimental Aid Post, HQ Company, Royal Corps of Signals.
And what were your duties as a medical orderly?
Well, the sick reports had to be in by 7:30, 8:15. I used to write all the names in the book. Get all the sterilisation done, because they used to have their own little gas burners for boiling water to sterilise the syringes and the needles. Make sure all those had been done that day. Right, then do the sick report. What was it? Mania, sore throats, tinea, venereal disease. That type of stuff, you know, it wasn't nothing, never ever very serious, unless they'd had a bottle fight the night before, you know, and someone had too many of these, and that was very, very few and far between, they were.
Go through the problems again. So how would you treat each of those problems then? The sore throats, was that common?
I mean, yeah,
was it tonsillitis or what?
Mainly, yeah. Well, you used to... God, what do you call it? God. It's a reddish colour paint. Liquid, what you just paint the infected parts with.
That was the treatment.
That was the treatment. And
how long would it last? I mean, would that fix it quickly? Or?
Well, I think I used to get 7 day, you know, a 7 day course of it. Either, all depends on how bad it was, whether you had it done 3 times or twice a day.
And would you actually do that rather than the doctor?
Yeah.
The doctor would see him first.
He'd diagnose what was wrong. He'd get right on a slip of paper. They'd bring to me and my other orderly, and there was two of us, and we would take it up from there. And then if there was penicillin to be given, it'd be penicillin. Well, I think the most you can give them is 5 cc's twice a day at the most. Usually it's once a day, first thing in the mornings. That is your penicillin or injections if they've got really an infection. You get, but occasionally you'll get someone who's burnt himself on these stoves, you know. They do get red hot at times if you treat them properly, but these stoves, so I mean, you've only just got to brush past them and you've got a heck of a burn on your hands. But that was, you know, only milder things, you know. I mean, the VD cases, they used to be, give them a fill of form in and send them off. Then the ambulance used to have to take them down to the FDS, field dressing station.
They weren't treated there then?
No, we never used to treat them.
Was
first.
It much of a problem? What? VD.
Yeah, that was surprising. Well, I counted them up in the book, all the VD cases, that's, you know, the, everything. There was 460 some odd in 18 months, which I class as.
Then where were they catching it from? If you see what, well, you know, was it in Japan, on leave in Japan?
Yeah,
or was it
sometimes, or sometimes, see, the signals there were out on these line, putting up different telephone lines. They'd got to go through a village, the temptation, and that is it, you know. You've got the Kiwis, they used to take out various messages, and they'd got to go with the jeeps through various villages. I mean, none of them were tip-top, these villages. You tell the army personnel, but they still don't listen.
Were people warned?
Yeah, you're all warned.
Did they have their prophylactic centres? You know.
Well, I mean, we'd got boxes of them in the MI room. All they'd got to do is say, can I have a couple of bags? Certainly, there you are. Go on, old pal, enjoy yourself. But whether they were too embarrassed or not, I don't know.
What were the main types of VD that was a problem?
Gonorrhea is the main one. That is the worst one. And then you... Urethral warts, you get urethritis. If, now there wasn't many, but if they didn't get the proper treatment for gonorrhea, then it can turn to syphilis, which is, can be curtains, you can get away with it. But not very often.
Now, you mentioned there were a couple of fights, bottle fights.
Well, you do. This is all, you know.
Across a long time.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I mean, we done three of us, me, Miss Sergeant Offord, and Shrimper. We all done 18 months in Korea. We volunteered for another 6 months.
And was it all near Pinto? All at the
same time? Yeah, we were all in the same camp. I kept in the MI room, and Sergeant Offord was over in the main, and then Shrimper got posted down to Rear Div.
So this was
which
from
was just down the road, then the MSR.
So when was this? This would be from January 53?
January 53 to July 54.
And all in that same... It wasn't called Pintail Camp, but it was near Pintail
Ridge. You go out the camp, down the right on the MSR, and it's just up the road you can see Pintail Bridge.
And so in all that time, there'd just be a couple of bottle fights? Or
well, there was never anything any really serious. In the, you know, for us, the MI room to treat. We did get, well, as I just said, a couple of... They'd get in the naffy and they'd have a, someone would find an axe. It's nearly always Scotsmen and Geordies, I don't know why. And then they'd start. Scotsmen were the main problem.
I mean, you hadn't been trained. Were you able to sort of bandage up a big cut? Who taught you? Or did you teach yourself?
Well, mainly it was self-taught, I suppose, because I wasn't in there long before Corporal... who was there, was sent back to England for his demob. So, I mean, he didn't have really that amount of time to... He used to watch me do it. Well, that's the only way you're going to get on. It's no good saying, well, you do it and I'll watch you. Is it? You know, so... touch wood.
So you weren't dealing with injuries from the fighting. The fighting stopped fairly soon.
But the war finished July the 27th, 1953.
So after about 5 or 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you didn't deal with any gunshot wounds or anything like that?
No.
Now, what would a typical day's routine be like then for you there, as, you know, as a medical orderly?
Well, as I said, we used to do the sick parade, make sure everything was the sterilisation thing that you'd done in case you'd got any inoculation.
What time would you do that?
Well, that would be most probably going while the sick parade was being done, because then that, you know, they're sterilised.
Tell me exactly how you used to sterilise them.
Well, it used to be a long, well, I suppose that would be about an inch and a half deep dish with some gauze laying the bottom to lay your syringes and your needles on. Two small gas burners underneath, light them, put the lid on and boil them that way. And then take them out of there, put them in another container and put an airtight lid on that, and that was, I'm afraid, your...
And what would you use the syringes for? What would you be injecting people with?
Penicillin, or if anybody was due for his inoculations, then we used to do them afternoons. After lunch, then they used to come in, like vaccinations, inoculations, all used to be done afternoons.
And what did you know what the vaccinations were? I mean, would you, you know, the, I don't know what the... And what effects they have, because some of them have bad after effects, don't they?
Yeah, well, we used to use them as a dartboard, you know, and then put a lump of plaster over it, then the scab comes on, the scab drops off, and okay. If the scab didn't drop off, then there's something gone wrong. You're either immune to something, or you've...
But that would be a case for the doctor.
If the scab didn't drop off, yeah.
What do you mean you used them as a dartboard? What do you mean? I mean...
Well, nowadays it's an injection in it for a vaccination. Well, you just get a needle, a syringe needle, you know, it's got something you can get hold of. You used to use the cap of the bottle and just dab it on there, and then just prick holes in it. And so the serum went in through those holes, and you put a piece of plaster over it.
And what proportion would be ill, you know, that the scab wouldn't fall off?
Oh, very, touching wood again, very, very few. It was hardly, you know, worth